The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. I want to thank all of you who have stood by us during these difficult summer months and helped to support this broadcast. Maybe there are some of you who appreciate the message each week but have never decided to help. If you can do that at this time, we'll be very thankful for it. This is a 5-Sunday month, and so the need is particularly great. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. When you write, if you request it, we'll send you a copy of our publication, The Baptist Witness. The title of our message today is Be of Good Courage. I preached this some time ago before the COVID virus became such a factor. But, you know, there's always need for encouragement. And indeed, in this portion from our series on the book of Joshua, we find the admonition to be of good courage. The first part of the message, we're talking about some of the things that bring discouragement. But in many of these, if we follow the biblical pattern and instruction that's given, we can avoid that source of discouragement. Be of good courage. Read from Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Be of good courage. Sometimes that's difficult because we face challenges, disappointments in life, so that we struggle to maintain good courage. So as we think about what it means to have this courage and the source of it, we first want to think about facing discouragement. If you understand what some of the discouragements are, recognizing the source of them, you'll be better prepared to know how to deal with them. So, first of all, there often is discouragement by events that you cannot understand. You're facing something very unexpected. This was not in your plan at all. It may be a serious illness. It might be the loss of a job. It might be a disruption in a marriage. Could be many things. You say, why? Why did this have to happen? Sometimes it's, why me? Why now? Jacob struggled with that. We read in the book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 30. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. Now, you know the setting of those comments made by Jacob. The brothers had gone down to Egypt to buy corn. They never imagined that their brother Joseph would be the man that was in charge. And Joseph is accusing them of being spies. And he says, I want you to bring Benjamin back, this youngest son that you've talked about. And Jacob is greatly distressed. He has come to the conclusion that Joseph is dead. And now Simeon is held back in Egypt, and so he's not present. And now you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Nothing is going right. Have you ever been there? Where just like one event after another was troubling, disturbing, disrupting your plans. Say, I don't understand it. But while Jacob made the conclusion that all things were against him, that was not the case. In the providence of God, God was working out a plan to bring Jacob and his whole family down to Egypt, that they would be fed when the rest of the world was starving because of a broad-reaching famine. Makes us think, of course, of the text in Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes we say, I know that's what it says, but I can't see it. I can't see any good. Didn't say that everything that happens to us is good, and he didn't say we'd be able to see it. He just said we needed to believe it. So events that we can't understand can be a source of great discouragement. Second cause can be what other people say. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 28, we see the response of the people at a time that they should have gone into the promised land, the land that God had promised to Abraham, confirmed that promise to Isaac and Jacob. But now, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. They are not courageous at the moment. They are discouraged. Why? Because their brethren, the spies that went into the land, have discouraged them, saying, this people is greater and taller than we. Well, that's frightening. If you're going to go in and conquer a land and you find out the inhabitants there are all taller and bigger than you are, say, I don't know that I want to face that challenge. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration. They were walled cities, but the walls didn't go all the way to heaven. And that shows how when people are in a negative vein, they tend to exaggerate, make things worse than they really are. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. You've already seen a display of the power of God. God fought for you. He sent the plagues upon the Egyptians until finally you were released. God has blessed you abundantly. You've seen it. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the ways that he went until ye come into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. 12 spies went into the land. They came back bringing evidence of what a remarkable place it was. Grapes of such a size that it was difficult to carry them and bring this presentation and say, look what we found. They admitted it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a wonderful place. We've thought about this land. We've anticipated the day that the promise of God would be fulfilled and we would inhabit it. It's great, but we can't take it. 10 of the spies said, we cannot do it. Only 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, let us go up at once because God has promised to be with us. So they listened to the majority report, and sometimes the majority is wrong. In this case, they were extremely wrong. And as a result, those 10 spies and all the others above 20 years of age died in the wilderness. They never saw the land. They never could enter it because of unbelief. The only 2 that entered the land were Joshua and Caleb. So what people say can have a big influence on you. You can become very discouraged. And it may be something of the sort that is observed here. Something that would discourage you about believing the very promise of God. Believe that he can do for you what he said he will do. Describing circumstances that seem to be so difficult that they are insurmountable. It's a tall wall that you couldn't possibly be able to reach the top of it and enter the city. In Nehemiah's day, they were building a wall, and Sanballat and Tobiah come up and observe their work. Now think about it. Here men out here working, no doubt in the hot sun, they're building a wall, they're putting forth their best effort. And these 2 critics come up and say, why, if a fox would run into that wall, he'd knock it down. That'd be a little disheartening, wouldn't it? If you think, I'm doing my best, and these critics say, that's a pathetic wall. It won't stand. A fox could knock it over. Well, if you're trying to serve the Lord, you're putting forth your best effort to serve him, and somebody criticizes it and says, I don't think any good's coming out of it. I don't think you're on the right track. I don't think you're serving God. Your effort is so feeble it doesn't amount to anything. You'd easily begin discouraged. But under the leadership of Nehemiah, they went forward. And as you know, they ultimately built the wall. And they had a day of celebration when they marched around and shouted and praised God, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Well, not only can you lose courage because of what people say, but by what people do. 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You can just sense the pain that was felt by the beloved apostle. Here's somebody that has labored with me, but he's forsaken me. And the reason he's forsaken is because he loves this present world. He's turning back. He's not going to be serving God. The apostle is grieved over it. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But notice his attitude. He wasn't bitter. He didn't wish them any harm. He said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. But look what else. In spite of the fact he says, no man stood with me. And can you not be sympathetic with this great man of God who's traveled far and wide, suffered persecution, endured physical harm, all kinds of opposition and criticism, and at this point, nobody stood with him. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, he doesn't specify just what that was, being delivered out of the mouth of the lion, but we know this much, that Satan comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So whatever the specifics were, we can know that Satan, no doubt, was involved. If it was fierce opposition from individuals, if it was some that sought to imprison him, to harm him, but he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And then Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You can lose courage by what others do. Somebody that is described here as being my familiar, my special, my close friend, that I trusted in him, and he's turned against me. Jesus quotes that in the Gospel of John, chapter 13 and the 18th verse. No doubt having reference to Judas, who appeared to be one of his faithful followers and then betrayed him. If you have a friend, if you have a family member, if you've had one in whom you trusted and thought you had a wonderful relationship, and that falls apart, you can be extremely discouraged. But not only do we face discouragement by events that you do not understand, by what others say and what others do, but you face discouragement sometimes because of what you do to yourself. Sin is indeed a problem. If there is unconfessed sin, if sin hasn't been repented of and turned from, you're not going to have much courage to move forward. Psalm 40, verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. When you're troubled by sinful behavior, by having gone down the wrong path, by having done the wrong thing, you're discouraged because of your own sin. It may be a besetting sin. How many times somebody said to me, I've struggled with this for so long, and I've tried to follow the counsel of God's word, and I've prayed to overcome, and I've had temporary seasons of victory, and then this besetting sin plagues me again. That can be extremely discouraging. Wrong thinking. If your thinking is not what it ought to be, on biblical terms, you'd be greatly discouraged. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, see how the thinking is distorted? I saw the wicked prospering. I was thinking, what's the problem here anyway? That I'm trying to serve God and I have all kinds of troubles. And these wicked people out here just going along, having fun, enjoying themselves and prospering. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Has that thought ever crossed your mind? You think about some of your struggles, some of your conflicts. and say, here, I'm trying to serve God. And I see people out here that give no thought to serving him. But their path seems to be smooth. They're not plagued like other men. Verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. He said, what's the use? I've washed my hands. I've cleansed myself in my walk. I've tried to live in a godly way. I've tried to honor God. But all I have is frustration and trouble and disappointment, and the wicked prosper. He was not thinking right. Further, he says, then I saw their latter end. When I realized that they're standing in slippery places, that their day of doom and destruction is coming, then I knew I needed to look at it from a different standpoint. See, you have to understand that although trials and afflictions are part of the Christian life, your day of eternal bliss and joy is yet to come. Jesus told his disciples, in the world ye shall have tribulation. You can expect it. It's not something that just all of a sudden occurred and you couldn't have imagined it. Jesus warned you in advance, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but in me you're going to have peace. So let us never be envious of those who do not believe in God, for those who live in wickedness. The day of judgment will ultimately come for them. And then Psalm 31, verse 22. There's another time where somebody's thinking wrong. The psalmist says, for I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. That makes us think of the experience of Jeremiah that we've talked about so often when he says, I cry and shout and he shuts out my prayer. The psalmist said in another place, is thy mercy clean gone forever? And so here he's saying, I said it though in my haste. He's admitting it. I'm cut off. My prayers are not being heard. I'm not having comfort. I'm not having joy. I feel to be cut off. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Isn't that amazing? That even when somebody has been thinking wrong, they cry out to God for help and he still helps. I said this in my haste. I wasn't thinking clearly. Then verse 24. Be of good courage. That's what we're talking about, having courage. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And so if our hope is in him, we don't have to struggle with the idea that he's forgotten about us. And then just one other source here when we're talking about discouragement. There's discouragement that comes by Satan. I think that we fail to really give enough attention to this great adversary of ours, to know what he does and some of his tactics that are used. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There's a lengthy description there of the armor that God's people should put on. But he says, above all, superior even to the rest of it, the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You can rest assured that Satan is continually hurling his fiery darts. Darts to discourage you, to influence your thinking so that you do not think correctly. And then we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith. Notice in both of these passages. Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the shield of faith. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, resist him steadfast in faith. What's it mean then? You're going to resist in faith. That means you're not going to believe what the fearful individuals say, like those that were saying at Kadesh Barnea, we can't enter into the land because the walls are up to the sky. You're going to have faith to believe what God says. Satan hurls his fiery darts. Discouragements come. Circumstances arise that you can't understand. You're perplexed by them. But faith enables you to lay hold of God's promise and believe him no matter what the situation or the circumstances may be. Notice what Jesus had to say about Satan. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he's speaking to the Pharisees who have given clear evidence, although they claim to be the descendants of Abraham, be his children. Jesus has said, Abraham didn't act like you're acting. If you were of the children of Abraham, you would believe in me. But he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, if you recognize, we've got a formidable enemy who's identified by Jesus Christ as being a liar. We need to be alert. We need to be vigilant. We need to have on the shield of faith. We need to be able to distinguish the difference between truth and error. We know that there are many false prophets abroad in the land. Multitudes of them are ensnared. In some of these places, thousands of people go every week to hear a man speak who doesn't want to talk about sin or call for repentance because that's negative. Doesn't want to talk about redemption. People want to hear something that will make them feel good. That's false doctrine. That's not true Christianity. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. But multitudes are ensnared by it. And Satan is your enemy. Be alert to the fact. Just know that he's not going to go on and leave you alone. He's hurling his fiery darts. So we face discouragement.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the
brought to the first part of a message entitled, Be of Good Courage. In this portion, we have talked about facing discouragement, and we see that there are many places from which discouragement springs that can be avoided if we follow the teaching of God's Word. Next time, we'll be talking about finding encouragement, so I hope you'll be sure to tune in for the program next week. Until that time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
Life here is grand with I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord?
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.